In response to the preaching of the word, let us sing from Psalter number 212, and we'll do that according to the second tune. Psalter number 212, all three stanzas. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the year 2014 draws to a close, we are caught, as it were, catching our breath. Perhaps not because it went so fast for us, but because of the many things that have happened this past year. It's been a year marked with all sorts of alarms, hasn't it? And with all of that, you and I need to ask ourselves the question, how have these alarms affected us? How have these alarms spoken to us, to you and to me? Now, our text passage, I believe, does give us something to think about this evening. And then our text particularly will direct us to some edifying, that is, upbuilding thoughts. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and He gives us the parable, or a parable, to think about for a while. And it is commonly called the parable of the fruitless fig tree. The fruitless fig tree. And so you have to picture in your mind that there's this fig tree that has not borne any sort of fruit for no less than the last 3 years. And the disgruntled owner has decided that it's time to cut it down. But in our text, we hear the caretaker, or the vine dresser, or whatever you want to call him, the caretaker, pleading on behalf of this fruitless fig tree. And he says the following, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." So tonight, as the year's end approaches for us, I would like to speak to you on three words that are found in our text here, particularly. And those three words also form the theme for the message. And those three words are, this year also. In the first place, it implies a look back. Secondly, it implies acts of mercy. And in the last place, it implies a limit to God's patience. So, this year also. It implies a look back. It implies acts of mercy. And lastly, it implies a limit to God's patience. Now, congregation, our text words, as I indicated already, imply that we, you and I, take a look back. Back at least upon the year that is almost past. And the question then has to be asked if we have borne fruit this past year. Now we have this parable of the fruitless fig tree before us to help us understand the message. In direct context, first of all, this parable spoken by the Lord Jesus has a message for the nation of Israel. The fig tree represents the nation of Israel in Jesus' days, or perhaps the city of Jerusalem, particularly. The 3 years in which it has not been cut down could refer to the whole course of history of the nation of Israel, or it could also refer to the 3 years of the Lord's ministry in the nation of Israel. The owner of the fig tree and of the vineyard in which this fig tree is planted is no doubt God Himself. And the keeper or the caretaker of the vineyard refers then to Jesus Christ. Now, we must also know that a fig tree is known not to be a fast producer of fruit. It takes much loving, tender care and much patience, and when it does finally bear some fruit, it cannot be easily seen from a distance, particularly because of many of the leaves on that particular tree. Now the owner, so we are told, has been wanting to cut it down because it has not borne any sort of fruit. But then the caretaker begins to plead with the owner. And he says, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it," implying that this year also the tree was left standing and it was not cut down. And the end of the parable leaves us with our own thoughts about all of this. I'm sure that the caretaker has done what he needed to do, that he has cared for, that he has fertilized his fig tree regularly, but we are not really told whether it actually did bear fruit after that or whether it was cut down. We are left to our own thoughts about this. Now, you and I, personally, and also as congregation, can also then be compared to this fig tree planted in the vineyard of God's covenant. As fig trees, we too, by nature, are not fast producing fruit bearers. And when we do produce some fruit, it is usually not all that easily detected. However, this past year, you and I too have been left standing. We have not been cut down. Now, I believe this is a fair comparison to make, isn't it? After all, with this parable, Jesus is, he's not aiming at instructing some fig trees. He's not aiming to change some fig trees, but he is aiming at people of God's covenant in Bible times and people like you and me, God's covenant people of today. And the first implication is, therefore, that although it could have been otherwise, you and I are still left standing this year also. We have not yet been cut down. Much has happened this year, as I mentioned that already. And not everything was bad news. Babies were born and baptized in the congregation. A marriage was solemnized. Anniversaries and birthdays were celebrated. Surgeries and treatments were successful. Long journeys and safe returns were enjoyed. All good news for this year, and therefore at the same time much reason that we should bear fruits of praise and thanksgiving to God. And then, of course, there are other things that have happened as well. Because in this year, 2014, we also saw a rise of some frightening events. As, for instance, what ISIS has been doing in the Middle East and what sort of threats it has brought also to this part of the world as well. The Russian bear, so to speak, has also stirred from its hibernation and has begun to threat and kindle a Cold War. The Ebola crisis is far from over, and doctors and nurses and helpers are also succumbing to it. Of late, there has been some prolonged uprisings in the United States in various cities, including the city of New York, because of the murdering of some blacks and also the killing of some policemen as well. And then, even the last couple days, there's this airplane that has disappeared and bodies are beginning to be recovered. In other words, there were a large number of deaths there, perhaps even as many as all of them, I believe 162 deaths. Besides all of that, the world and politics is changing rapidly in this world of ours. And as we look back on this past year, we are not as comfortable as we were at the beginning of this year. And so the question can be asked, have the warnings that we have heard, have those warnings produced the fruit of repentance and trust in God amongst us? And as we look back, congregation, you and I have been left standing. We have not been cut down, to use the words of our text. We are still in the protective boundaries of God's covenant. Now, getting back to the context again for a moment, it is striking that just prior to speaking about the fruitless fig tree, the Lord Jesus spoke about some recent tragedies in His own time. The first one is of some Galileans who, while they were making religious sacrifices, were murdered in cold blood by Pilate, so that the blood, so we are told, was mingled with the blood of the sacrifices. And the second tragedy that we read about as well, of a tower collapsing in Siloam, that is in the city of Jerusalem, which killed no less than 18 people. And with a little imagination, we can, as it were, see these things happening before our eyes, can't we? And then the question was raised, well, were these people worse sinners than those who did not get killed? And then Jesus says, no, because, and He says that even twice, in fact, in order to underscore it, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, could we not ask the same question? Could we not make the same statement as well? Were those slaughtered by ISIS worse sinners than you and me? For what I can gather from the reports that I've read, many of them, or at least a large number of them, were Christians. Were they worse sinners than you and me? I would not even dare hint at that. Think of the many women and children, particularly, most of them actually innocent bystanders to the madness of these brutes and of these radicals. Many of them literally cried themselves to death or committed suicide in order to escape from the horrendous cruelty that these men were committing. Were these people that died, were they worse sinners than you and me? Again, I think not. And yet, they are dead. And we are still alive. We are still standing. I'm thinking of the many thousands who have died through the ravages of Ebola. Some of them kind-hearted, self-effacing workers and helpers. Were they worse sinners than you and me? Again, I think not. And yet they are dead. And we are still alive. We're still standing. One danger that does threaten to entertain us is that we might indeed begin to think ourselves better than others. And this is precisely the issue that the Lord Jesus Christ was addressing here in our text chapter. There were people standing around the Lord Jesus who thought that since they had not met up with any sort of calamity or with any sort of death, then they must be better than the others. And it is natural to think that way, isn't it? Especially if we are somewhat religious. We might reflect on it then and be inclined to think, well, these people were probably not religious people, or they did not practice their religion in the way that the Bible tells us to do, and this is why God allowed them to perish. But such thoughts are not correct, congregation, not at all. Because it fosters within us then the proud idea then that we are better than they are, than the ones who died. And you see, we have no reason to be proud, do we? We have no reason to think that we are any better at all. And as we look back upon the year that is passing, how much haven't we, you and I, done to displease our God? Haven't we also sinned against Him somehow, and that every day? Wouldn't that be enough warrant for God to cut us down? And then the point of the parable in our text is not even if we have committed any sort of sins, but rather if we have been fruit-bearing. This fig tree here in the parable, it has not committed any overt sins. It has just been standing there in the vineyard, taking up a little bit of space. It has not engaged in any sort of breaking of the laws and the commandments of God. It has not been busy doing anything that displeased the owner other than that it did not bear fruit. And it was for being fruitless that the owner wanted to cut it down. And so as we look back again upon this year, 2014, we do not even have to point to any specific sins that we have committed, but we simply have to ask ourselves, have we been fruit-bearing? Have the warnings that have come to you and to me this year, have they made us sensitive to our need of God? Have those warnings that have come to us made us more dependent upon God? Has the threat of ISIS and of Ebola, have they led us to more prayer to God for help? Has the preaching of the gospel word borne fruit in the congregation and in our own personal lives? The fruit of repentance and the fruit of faith? Has God been able to come into this vineyard this year, that is, in our congregation here, and see spiritual fruit developing? Has God been able to gather fruit of the Spirit from us, that is, the fruit of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of kindness, of the goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and many other fruits? Have God found those fruits amongst us? You see, it is not even a matter of whether we have sinned or not, because we have all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God, haven't we? But it is a matter of whether we have borne fruit. The fig tree in the parable here deserves to be cut down because the owner could not find any fruit on it. And so, as we look back upon this year, we have to ask ourselves the question, have we been fruit-bearing Christians? If God would go through the congregation this year, would He have been able to pick the fruit of love, for instance, towards one another? Would He have been able to pick the fruit of humility? Or the fruit of holiness amongst us? If not, isn't it a mercy, dear people, on God's part that He has not cut us down? Now this takes me to my second point, consideration, because our text this year also implies acts of mercy. In this parable of the fruitless fig tree, the owner is portrayed as being inclined to cut down this particular fig tree. But then there is someone who is pleading on behalf of this same fig tree. And this person happens to be the dresser or the carekeeper, the caretaker of this vineyard. And this man has been busy pleading that also this year, this fig tree would be spared yet, and that he then would do his best in order to give this fig tree as much of his attention as he could possibly give it. He would dig around it. He would fertilize it. In other words, he would do whatever it would take in order that it may produce fruit. Now, congregation, do we not see a fine picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in this caretaker? This year also has been a year of mercy for us because of Jesus Christ. And how wonderfully has He not taken care of us this year also. With His Word and with His Holy Spirit, He has been busy with us as well. He has been digging around us, as it were, spiritually. He has put us to thinking, so to speak, so that we could gather wisdom from the Word of God and receive direction and guidance on the way. He has jabbed us at times. He has pricked us. That is, He has pricked our conscience with the Word. Perhaps He has found it necessary to shake us to the roots once in a while and to touch us to the core of our being. As the heavenly caretaker, He has been around every day, hasn't He? This year also. Sometimes simply to smoothen things out and to make us feel more comfortable. But sometimes also to uproot things. Sometimes even in order to prune us. But as the heavenly caretaker, He's been around us this year also to spiritually fertilize us, so to speak, and that with wonderful blessings. I've mentioned at the beginning of our message the good news that we could share with each other this year also, time and time again. Babies born, marriage solemnized, baptisms, anniversaries, birthdays celebrated, successful surgeries and treatments, safe journeys. And all of these wonderful blessings, dear people, by which the Lord Jesus Christ has, as it were, been busy fertilizing us. And then, besides that, we have the lively preaching of the gospel word this year also. The brothers of the consistory and I, we have been permitted by God to carry on our ministry in the midst of the congregation through visits and through teaching and through preaching. Our children could be taught at home and in the school and in the church by dedicated parents and teachers. Now, as such, it doesn't say too much about you and me necessarily, but it does say much of the mercy of our God. You and I have been under the lively preaching of the Word, the Gospel Word, with its covenant promises. And this is a blessing, isn't it? At least I hope that you consider it to be a blessing. The Gospel of salvation, it has not been kept away from you. Jesus, the Savior of sinners, has been declared to you time and time again. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ could be heard clearly as He called out to you and to me even this year. He has invited us. He has allured us with His saving love. Christ the Savior has been busy beckoning us to come to His love feasts, His communion suppers, when we could be fed and when we could be nourished with His crucified body and by His shed blood. Now, these were times of blessings, weren't they? I would hope that you'd agree with that. Now, what I'm trying to say is this, dear people, that this year also, the mercy of God has been with us, in that Jesus Christ, as the heavenly caretaker, has done what He said He would do. He has been digging around us. He has been fertilizing us, in order to use the words of our text, so that we would not remain fruitless. And it is in this sense that the Lord Jesus Christ said to His people, to the people of His day, who thought that they were much better than the ones who had died in the various calamities, He says to them, that they repent. That they repent of their fruitless life. That they would repent of their fruitless ways. That they repent of just using the ground and taking up space and that they begin to bear fruit towards God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is aiming at. And so, let me then ask also in way of application, what has God's mercy done for you and to you this year? Has God's mercy and has Christ's care for you made you fruitful already? Has Jesus Christ not done much for you? And then to think of the great mercy of Jesus, our intercessor. In the parable, just listen to Him pleading with His Father on our behalf. Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. In other words, Father, Father, let Zion alone also this year, until I do more work in the congregation. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, your will be done. And if you are still fruitless, after all that what has happened this year, both good and bad, if you are still without fruit, Jesus Christ says, this moment yet repent. Why? Because our text, this year also, implies a limit to God's patience, as I must speak of it in the last place. In the parable, the caretaker has pleaded for another year. But after a year of mercy and special care, he leaves it to the owner of the vineyard what to do with the fruitless fig tree. Then, cutting it down becomes a real possibility. Dear people, for Jesus, this was just another way of saying that there is a limit to God's patience. No, not that there is a limit to how big a sinner God can save and to how much mercy God can give to a sinner. No sinner is too great for God's saving mercies. Neither is there a limit to God's mercy for those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a limit to how long God is pleased to show mercy to those who remain fruitless due to rank unbelief and disobedience. And to you, the words of Hebrews 4, verse 7, need to be repeated, that God has limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. You see, the patience of God might only be limited to this present day for you. To this present day. And so, dear people, whoever you are, and whatever we have been, think of what God has been for you also this year. This year also, He has shown you mercy. This year also, He has not cut you down. This year also, He has not left you to perish. This year also, He has had His Son Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit spend time and energies on you and on me. This year also, He has come to see if there is fruit. Fruit, first of all, fruit of repentance and faith. Now, if you have confessed to be a Christian, and to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then also show your obedience to Him in your submission to Him and in your humility. Love God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, what I'm saying there is that you are called to bring forth fruit of thankfulness and do not keep it hidden like the fig trees keep it hidden behind all kinds of leaves. Show it. Show it. Bring forth that fruit that reveals that Christ-like life in you. And then don't be afraid of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In every day of your life, every hour of your life, especially into this new year, which in a few hours will break open for us. And therefore, let the new year be the beginning of years of abundant fruit. Always keeping in mind, always keeping it in your prayer, what the Lord Jesus Christ once said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Well, may God find fruit amongst us, dear people, young and old. May he find it even in rich abundance amongst us. And may it be a pleasure for him to enter into his vineyard, into his garden, into the congregation, even into the congregation of Zion Fenwick, and taste his pleasant fruits. Even this year also. As yet. Amen.